The Catholic Channel Sirius XM 129 presents Just Love with your host, Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, Executive Director of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New York.
Welcome to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just love. God, neighbor, self. Our world will be more just and more compassionate. If you want to learn a little bit more about what we talk about for our show each week, you can check out my Just Love blog, and you can look up some of the same stuff we're talking about here with a little bit more detail. Or you follow me on Twitter at MSGRKSullivan, and again, you learn a little bit more about the topics that we're talking about. So this week, we're going to be speaking about a range of stuff. We're in the middle of Lent, and the Bible's got something to do with Lent, and the Bible's got something to do with religion. Religion's got something to do with Lent. Lent's got something to do with religion. All that stuff gets mixed up. And there's a great new sitcom on television called Living Biblically, and we're going to be speaking with the executive producer of that, Patrick Walsh. I've seen a little bit of it. It's just brand new, but I've seen some of it, and I am really enthused about it, and so I'm really anxious to speak with Patrick Walsh, whose idea it was to put it together, get a little bit more of the background about it. And then, tragically, we're going to talk a little bit about the shootings in Parkland, Florida. We're going to speak with two students from that community. They're not students at Parkland High School, but they are students at a nearby Catholic school, St. Thomas Aquinas School. We're going to speak with the student body president there, who's a senior, and we're going to speak with a sophomore from there, and who tragically kind of was friends with and knew three of the students who were actually killed. So that's going to be a little bit of a sad part of our show, but important part of our show, because we're going to talk about how young people get engaged and respond to those things and hopefully make our world more just and more compassionate by their engagement in things. And it's appropriate because I participated this past week in a panel that was sponsored by the leadership of Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of New York. About 250 leaders from the student council were there about the issue of civic engagement. How do we get involved in our public square in a way that does enable us to bring to bear our Catholic values to try to advocate for those policies which will make our world more just, make it more fairer? So I'm very, very, very pleased that in this kind of very sad and tragic situation that we're going to speak with two high school students from Florida. And then finally in our show, we're going to speak with Deanna James, who is the executive director of the St. Croix Foundation in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. I was down there during the past week for 2 days on a mission to draw attention to those islands and the devastation that the hurricanes Irma, Maria brought to that area of the world, and how they're still recovering from that. And they've flown a little bit under the radar screen because the population of the U.S. Virgin Islands is only a little bit over 100,000, and it's next to Puerto Rico, which the population is millions, and Puerto Rico was so devastated that, you know, rightly, most of the attention has been focused on Puerto Rico. But in fact, the devastation in the U.S. Virgin Islands was probably, in some senses, even more extensive than in Puerto Rico. Fortunately, a lesser population, but still something that's there. So I'm delighted that we're going to be kind of focusing on that today. And so, you know, it is Lent. And so probably today, I would encourage our listeners who, as part of those three practices that we're talking about, we talk about greater prayer, we talk about greater fasting, we talk about greater acts of charity, acts of service. You know, today might be a good day to think about, what are we going to do today to be of greater help to our communities? What are we going to do to make our world a better place in reaching out to a friend, a neighbor, family member in need, and maybe kind of doing something a little bit good for that person? It doesn't have to be a huge thing. Could be a very small thing. I'll just share with you, earlier this week when I went to the gym and was kind of with the trainer I was working with in the gym, somebody came up to her and said, "Hey, I have an extra cup of coffee. Yeah, why don't you have my cup of coffee?" Well, it was very interesting just to see kind of the smile on her face that somebody was reaching out and doing something for her. It just created a wonderful sense of warmth. Now, did it save the world? No, it didn't save the world. Was she starving to death? No. But was it an act of kind of human kindness and solidarity which made things better in that situation? Without a doubt, and it shouldn't be trivialized. So enough of me talking, because we have such great guests today. I want to make sure we give them enough time to talk about what they have to share with us. So let me go to our first guest, Patrick Walsh, who is the executive producer, of Living Biblically. Patrick Walsh, thank you so much for joining us on Just Love today.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So you're the executive producer of this, which means you're the boss guy, right?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, you run the show and handle the day-to-day operations and the scripts and the actors and everything like that.
Oh, great. So tell us about it. I know there was a book about this a couple of years ago. How'd you decide you were going to kind of turn that idea into something which, you know, maybe was going to entertain us and maybe kind of help us to think a little bit? How'd you decide you were going to do that?
Johnny Galecki from The Big Bang Theory had the rights to the book, The Year of Living Biblically, which is written by A.J. Jacobs. And it was a guy who for 1 year basically wanted to live his life very strictly according to the rules of the Bible, 100%. And, of course, had a bunch of very interesting experiences with that. And the book is great. It's like a nonfiction diary. And Johnny wanted to make it into a comedy. And the book is very funny. And what I liked about it was that it was a comedy about religion that wasn't mocking Christianity, which I think so much comedy about religion is. So that was a good tonal guide for me. And, you know, I went to the four networks with Johnny, and we just said, 84% of the world aligns himself with some form of religion. There's no entertainment for people of faith on television, certainly no comedies. And if we approach this with an open heart and very respectfully, we think we could have something really interesting here, and hopefully we do. It's been on for a couple weeks, and people seem to like it. So it's cool. I know people were scared before it came out. You hear Living Biblically in a comedy, people tense up, but it's actually a very welcoming, very affectionate show, and very pro-faith, pro-religion.
So Patrick, let me tell you, because I, you know, it's only been on a couple of weeks. I've seen some of the pilot. I've seen some of it. I like it. I think it's really, really good. And everything you've just said, I kind of pick up. It is treating religion, you know, seriously, but not somberly. I mean, it's you know, it's not one of those boring things, which, quite frankly, most of us clergy people do to kind of really do our jobs to kind of keep people away, because we're boring about it, and who wants to be part of something boring? But so thanks for what you're doing.
Hey, I mean, thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
You know, again, one of the parts I saw was, we'll play a clip in a minute from when I think he's either in the bookstore or library and he's kind of comes across a book. We'll play a clip for that in the moment. But one of the scenes I liked was when he's kind of talking with the priest. And again, what I would like to kind of compliment you on, Patrick, is that that the priest doesn't come off like a dingbat, as the priest does,
right?
And neither does he come off as somebody who is, you know, Bing Crosby from Going My Way in, you know, in the 19 whatevers.
Right. Yeah, he's a very modern priest, a very cool and non-judgmental priest, and I think that's why Chip, the lead character, responds to him so much. And we had an actual priest here in Los Angeles and an actual rabbi here in Los Angeles who read every draft of the script, and they would help us, you know, if we were maybe choosing the wrong verse from the Bible, they would say, I think this one says what you're trying to say better. And they were also very helpful in letting us know the day-to-day life of priests and rabbis, which we were kind of unaware with. I grew up in the Catholic Church, but I never saw priests outside of church. So these guys were just very funny, modern guys. They hit it off incredibly well. We have a priest and rabbi who are best friends on the show. And, you know, it was just a very cool experience to every day at work just have these really meaningful, interesting conversations about religion. Well, because usually writing for sitcoms, you do not, I assure you.
Well, and the other thing which I kind of liked about the priest, which was non-stereotypical, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't of Irish ethnicity.
Right, right.
And I think that's a great, you know, broadening of the fact that, yeah, there are a lot of Irish American priests in the United States, but there are also a lot of priests who are not Irish American. So I think to just by casting it that way, I think you did a tremendous job to make this make it kind of better and, you know, more authentic. So I think that was a good thing to that you did.
Thanks.
So listen, why don't we listen to that one clip so we give our listeners a little sense of this. I think it's in a bookstore that this clip goes where Chip is.
Do you have any books for when you're just sort of an overall disaster as a person but are also going to be bringing a human child into the world?
You don't want my advice.
Whoa. Bible?
No, I that's an accident.
Put it back.
Okay, so that, you know, I just think the writing is great. I think it is really funny. It's really natural. Did you have a hard time selling it to the network?
No, we pitched it to the four big networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, and they all wanted the show. They all made offers on the show, which was very surprising to us because it is a very touchy topic and a very sensitive topic. But I really do think it was just me and Johnny going in and, you know, promising them, convincing them that this wasn't going to be some attack job. And now really the issue has been trying to make people aware of that now that the show is airing, that hopefully they see it and spread the word, because it was a shame to see online in the comments and stuff. I think Christians are so conditioned to be made fun of when religion is discussed on television. They think Hollywood is going to make fun of them, and I get that. There's certainly a lot of support to back that up. But, yeah, it's a very important thing I'm trying to get across to people, is that that's not this show. You know, Chip each week dives into a different verse from the Bible, and each week it has a very, very positive impact on his life and marriage and family. He's doing it for his son. He learns that his wife is pregnant unexpectedly, and he's basically trying to get himself together in that 9 months. But what he learns is that this is having, you know, major positive impacts in every aspect of his life.
So I know it's only been on for a couple of weeks. The initial feedback, decent, positive. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely what I like to see the most is people saying, like, you know, I went in very apprehensively. I went in arms folded. I didn't expect to like this, and I really do. And, you know, ratings-wise, we're holding our own. It's all about ratings. But this is, you know, hopefully going to be something that can keep going, because we had so many stories. Obviously, every line in the Bible could be an episode of the show. That's why these stories have lasted for so long. And I just think, you know, making it relevant for a modern audience is kind of fun. And I think people really get a kick out of that, as opposed to, you know, just seeing the story of Samson, let's say, told again, you know, in Bible times. We're trying to really modernize these stories and also, you know, not lose the impact of what the message of them is.
So, you know, again, this is my opinion for what it's worth, is I'll tell you why I was a little bit apprehensive, is because I didn't really like the book, The Year of Living Biblically. I thought it was like a little bit, the guy didn't get it in what it means to live biblically. I wasn't a fan of the book. So anyway, but the scene that I saw in which Chip has the conversation with the priest, and he's got to say, you know, I got to take this real little, and the priest kind of nonchalantly says, well, you know, basically you should live the Bible. It's not
right.
You know, and I think treating it, the worst thing you can do about religion is taking religion too seriously. It's far too important to be taken seriously. And and so I think it's kind of like a really, really valuable way that you've approached this. And so I'm just grateful that you've done it. And I'm just really grateful. What are you kind of hoping for that your listeners, how they're going to respond? What would you like as kind of one of the outcomes?
Well, yeah, it's great that you said that, because even the priest is telling him, you're not going to be able to do this. Nobody can live 100% by the Bible, and that Bible should stand for basic instructions before leaving Earth, you know, as
right.
a guide to live your life. So, yeah, I mean, my big takeaway that I would love people to have from it is just seeing people on television, because Chip is now devout and his wife is atheist, and they love and support and understand each other and talk these things out. We have a priest and a rabbi on the show who are best friends and very funny together. And Chip's coworkers don't agree with what he's doing, but they respect it. They understand it. They see the positive impact it's having. I just think in this time in America, with everything going on and everyone really just covering their ears and shouting their opinion, the show's really just trying to teach the value of talking to people and learning about people whose beliefs are different than yours and different faiths, and not to be scared of that, because there seems to be a whole lot more yelling than listening these days. And the show really just, hopefully, is going to bring people together, is the goal.
You know, and Patrick, actually, we're speaking with Patrick Walsh, who is the executive producer of a new sitcom called Living Biblically, which I will unabashedly recommend to all of our listeners. It is funny. It is religious. It is not somber. So I would strongly recommend it. I do have, Patrick, to kind of a little bit of a disclaimer as to why I'm always intrigued by things like this, because I'm working on a project which pretty far along is I believe that one of the reasons people don't read the Bible, it's too big. It's got over 800,000 words in it. And quite frankly, who's got time? I mean, you know, it's just too big. So what I've done is I've developed what I've called, and they won't let me use this title. I mean, it's not published yet, but it's, you know, if anybody wants to publish it, they're willing to do it. I want to call it the ADD Bible, because because I think you can get the heart of the Bible. It's actually, I'm calling it the heart of the Bible. You can get it down to 25 passages and about 15,000 words, and you get the whole thing. That's my hypothesis.
It's a great idea.
And with a little commentary, you know, you get it all. And yeah, if you like it, maybe you want to read more. But so that's why I was really intrigued by this show, because I think the Bible is so important, but it is, quite frankly, a little formidable. You know, it's written a long time ago. It's big, and so we gotta do it. So thank you for doing it, and I'm just delighted that you're doing it. I find it enjoying. So, Patrick Walsh, thank you for joining us on Just Love today.
Thank you, sir. It's Monday nights on CBS. I appreciate your time.
Great, thank you, All Patrick right. Walsh, the executive producer of Living Biblically. Why don't we take a break? And when we'll come back, we'll kind of continue with the topics that we are talking about. Sadly, we're going to talk about the shootings in Florida, and then a little bit later on, we'll talk about the recovery efforts still going on in the Caribbean, particularly the U.S. Virgin Islands. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself, and our world will be more just and will be more compassionate. Join us when we come back in just a moment on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love. Just do it. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself. Our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. We're here in the middle of Lent and we're kind of still reflecting on what the season means. And sometimes when we reflect on what the season means, as we're preparing for the cross of Jesus Christ on Good Friday, we recognize that there is still a lot of suffering, pain, and death in our world. And tragically, on the day that actually began our Lenten season, Ash Wednesday, there was that awful shooting and killing in Florida, in which 17 people were killed. And we're still in the aftermath of that. And, you know, there's nothing to say about that other than it was an incredible tragedy, incredible suffering. However, out of that has come a great deal of engagement in which, you know, students are now raising their voice and getting involved to trying to deal with some of that. And I am just really, really delighted that we have two students, not from that school itself, but from that same part of Florida, who are at a nearby Catholic school, Thomas Aquinas High School. And we're going to be speaking right now with Alexa Hui and Tingley Logan. So I'm delighted that they are with us. Alexa and Tingley, thank you for joining us on Just Love today.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Okay. And the first thing I want to say is kind of word of sorrow and condolences, because Tingley, I think you actually knew three of the students who lost their lives in that or were students in that school. Am I right on that?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's just... it's just very, very sad and very, very tragic. So you're in a nearby school. What's been the reaction in your school to this, among your classmates, among yourselves, to that horrible thing that happened a few weeks ago? What's kind of the atmosphere and the reaction among you? Alexa, you want to begin?
Sure. So I can definitely say that the day that it happened, I heard about it from everyone and from so many people, and I was getting so many different texts and messages and seeing things all over social media about just this tragedy that it was occurring. And I think it really rocked everyone as soon as it happened, and then even more so after the accident, as more details came to light, everyone was just so devastated by what was happening, so shocked that something could have happened. And it actually happened at the beginning of a long weekend for our school. And so we were hearing about it over the long weekend, and I was seeing things on social media. And then the Monday that we came back to school, or I think it was actually even a Tuesday that we came back to school, students wanted to organize a walkout, and students were making posters and signs and trying to actively participate in trying to walk to City Hall and organizing walks in front of and marches in front of other city halls as well. And so it was a very instant reaction, a very powerful and strong reaction to this accident.
Tingley, and how about for those people who actually knew some of the students who were involved? That must be very, very devastating, and it probably has even a deeper effect on the reaction to what was happening there.
Yes, well, I was at lacrosse practice, and I just remember getting texts and calls from some of my best friends who actually attend Douglas that I have known for nearly my entire life, just saying, hey, if you hear what happened, just know I'm okay or I'm safe. And it was just kind of in the moment, you know, your body freezes. You just start shaking. You have no idea what happened, because you hear about when it happens to places like Sandy Hook, and of course it still hurts, but there's nowhere near that emotion you feel when it happens in your backyard.
How far away were you? Were you like a mile away, a few blocks, 2 miles? How far away was your school from Douglas?
We are about 35 minutes or so.
Okay.
Yeah, 35 minutes south of the city of Parkland.
So that's real nearby. That's just that's a short car ride to there. So
my best friend, a lot of my best friends actually live in Parkland, and the shooter was found in the neighborhood of one of my close friends.
So what do we do about it? What do we do about it? How do we, you know, I mean, I'm much, much older than you. And I guess my generation, which is much older, we haven't been able to do much. I mean, these things happen. What are you guys going to do to try to make our schools and our places safer? What are you going to do?
So this is Alexa. Right. I don't know if you can tell who's speaking, but
thanks for identifying yourself.
I'm sorry. I'm the student body president here at St. Thomas, and I felt instantly after this accident happened that because I have that responsibility that we have to do something and that I have to mobilize the school. And so I thought of this idea of sending postcards to our state legislators and sending thousands, because at St. Thomas has 2,200 students. And so if each student here were to write one postcard, that'd already be 2,200 postcards or even more than that going to our state senators. And so what I did was I've been working on this project, and the student activities director, Mrs. Scott, has been helping me. I designed a postcard with a quote from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas on the front, and then on the back there is a message asking for stricter gun control laws, for universal background checks, for peace building in communities. I actually took the points from the USCCB stance on gun control, and I made this postcard, and our school is going to start printing them out and giving students the opportunity to sign them in all of their English classes. And the idea is that we can send all these letters to our state senators, and I've already been in contact with students, the student body president for two other schools nearby, trying to get them to do that, the same with their school. And then I'm also working on contacting sororities in nearby colleges at UF, at University of Miami, and doing that. And I think that this project hopefully will show that this is something that we will not ignore, and that this is something that our students and our young adults really are passionate about and care about. And I think that hopefully this project will be one way that we can make a change and encourage our state senators to do something about.
Hey, Lexi, I know that I think Tom Dobbins probably was in touch with you. I'm going to ask him to follow up with you. If you could send us a copy of that postcard, I'd love to, you know, either use it or adapt it, and we can try to do something similar to that in New York, because it's not merely a Florida issue. It's a nationwide issue. So if you
would be incredible. Yes.
So Tingley, you're not quite a senior yet. You're not the president of the student council.
No, sir.
Okay. But so how are you involved? What's the feeling among your students?
Well, since most of the victims who unfortunately passed, they were either seniors or freshmen. It was very hard for our grade, just knowing, you know, the ones that passed that were younger than us, they never got to experience what we went through. And it was just kind of hard on our side. You know, we're hearing people from the other school, oh, well, you weren't there, how could you be hurting? But it's still hard because, you know, it makes you feel bad that you weren't there to experience the shooting. You know, you didn't feel the fear, but it still hits you.
Do you guys feel less safe in your school when you go to school now? How about you, Tingley? Do you feel less safe?
Well, the day after the shooting, I left early. I didn't even make it through first period. And I knew a lot of people were starting to get fear because we actually had a lockdown that day, because I don't know if it was just kids trying to be funny and trying to get attention, but there were, you know, there were threats at North Broward, a school near us, and just a bunch of other schools. So our school felt the safe way it were to go on lockdown. So I knew a lot of my friends that were still here, they were very scared.
Alexa, how about you?
I actually, I love the school, and I actually, after the accident, I was thankful that I felt that St. Thomas did have the protection in place, and that the community as a whole felt like a community where people were welcome and where I couldn't really, obviously I don't know every single student, but I did feel like there was that loving spirit. And so I actually felt blessed that I went to a school with such a warm family and community and such protection. And I actually, the seniors weren't on campus the day after the accident. We were in, that was the scheduled day of our senior trip. And so I don't know what happened in terms of the lockdown, but I know that when we were at school, when we arrived at school after the weekend, there was more security measures in place. There was extra faculty outside the school. And so I do feel very safe. I mean, there is that fear, but I'm glad. I feel like I'm in a school where everything is being done to protect us.
So, Alexa and Tigami, let me just move on a little bit to another topic. And another topic is that, you know, sometimes when these things happen, they talk about the people who do it feeling isolated or they feel they're not part of something. And listen, everybody's got responsibility for what they do, and there's no excusing what goes, you know, what somebody does when they do a violent act. But I bet you in your school, even you feel that there might be some people in your school who maybe aren't as much a part of the activities. They're not maybe in the mainstream. Maybe people shun them, and maybe there's even a little bullying going on in some of that. How do you deal with those issues among your peers? Alexi, maybe you go first.
So I think that in any community, are you asking how I think we should or how I personally deal with it now?
Either way.
Something that I've always tried to do since I've arrived at St. Thomas is if I see someone sitting by themselves at lunch, I try and go and make friends. I love meeting new people, obviously, so I make friends with them, and I start a friendship with them, and then I've met a lot of people at the school actually that way. And so I think that if each of us kind of gained that mentality, not just at St. Thomas, but at high schools around, if we kind of just thought about going outside of our friend groups and moving outside of that and just including people who may not have a group, I think that would make a world of difference in our country and in the future. Just stepping outside of like what we know and what we're comfortable in and trying to bring someone else into our circle.
Tingley, I mean, what Alexa just said is I think just so on target and the right way to go. But we are in Lent, and we do know that as human beings, sometimes we always don't do the right thing, and sometimes we don't always do that. You get a sense that sometimes that we don't act in a way, and we do make people not feel part, and we make them feel alone. Have you experienced any of that, where sometimes that does happen among your peers?
Yes, definitely a lot, especially in high school, because well, everyone just tries to fit in. It's all about being included. And there are going to be those times where you just feel like you're not in it as much as another one. And, well, since it happened, I've had experience, though, where, you know, there's some kids who look at you and they're like, oh, why is she crying so much? Like, she wasn't even at the school. Or then you have those students where you have talked to maybe 3 times, and they just offer you their shoulder to cry on, and they're there for you. In a sense, it brings your school close.
So that's wonderful, and I think that is a great thing for our listeners to understand. I'm grateful for your time. So let me ask you this. There is this big march in a few weeks. Actually, I think it's the day before Palm Sunday on March 24th. Are there any students from St. Thomas Aquinas who are going to be participating in that national march?
Yes. The boys varsity lacrosse team, I believe, is trying to get a trip, so I'll go up there.
Okay.
And I do know that we are trying to, gauging how many students are interested. There, a lot of students have expressed interest already. And so we're trying to get a group together to go up as well, separate from lacrosse. Well, with the lacrosse team, but like not members who are not on the lacrosse team.
Right. Well, that's good. And I mean, again, I am 4 million years older than both of you, but I remember when I was kind of in high school and in college, what the issues of those times, a couple of times I did go on a bus trip to Washington, and I thought it was just a great, wonderful kind of educational opportunity, an ability to engage, to understand, and to realize even if I was an age where maybe I couldn't vote yet or maybe I couldn't fully participate because I was still in school, but my voice could be felt. So I just want to say thank you, Alexa. Thank you, Tingley. Thank you for what you're doing to make St. Thomas a better place. And you're reaching out in light of this tragedy to kind of do things that are going to make our world a little bit fairer, more just, hopefully a little bit more safe, and a little bit more caring. So, Alexa, Tingley, thank you for being guests today on Just Love.
Thank you for having us.
Great.
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, great. You know, I think we'll take a break. You can follow more about what we're talking about on my Just Love blog. And you can follow me on Twitter at MSGK Sullivan. And you learn a little bit more about the topics that we're talking about. Tragically, the situation in Florida is just very, very difficult. A little bit of hope with people like Alexa and Tingley, who understand their responsibility to engage in some of the public debate and also to be instruments of bringing peace and inclusion within their own school. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in just a few moments, and we'll shift a little bit to talking about what's going on in the Caribbean. Just love. Just love God. Just love your neighbor, just love yourself, and our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. Join us when we come back in just a moment on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love. Just do it. Just love God, just love your neighbor, and our world will be more just, and it will be more compassionate. Follow me on my blog, Just Love Blog, or follow me on Twitter at MSGRK Sullivan, and you learn a little bit more about the topics that we discuss. In a few minutes, we're going to speak with Deanna James, who is the executive director of the St. Croix Foundation of the Virgin Islands. But Tom, I do want to talk a little bit. Tell me a little bit about what's going on in terms of tariffs, which what the president announced.
Sure, Monsignor. Well, you may remember, or some of our listeners will certainly remember, that President Trump campaigned on economic policies that said he would protect U.S. workers from foreign competition. One of those policies that he talked about was tariffs on imports. Well, last week, Monsignor, he moved to make that happen, and he announced he was going to put large tariffs on steel and aluminum imports here in this country. Supporters, like the obviously steel companies and aluminum companies here in the U.S., say the tariffs are going to bring jobs back to America. And they also feel that it's going to put China in its place for flooding the United States market with cheap imports. But there are critics of this who say that this could start a trade war, mostly a lot of foreign governments, and also the U.S. stock market, which actually plunged in response to this. In fact, and also there's many people of the president's own party who do not agree with this. For example, U.S. Speaker Paul Ryan criticized the tariffs. He said that the new tax reform law had boosted the economy, and we certainly don't want to jeopardize those gains. But President Trump said he's not backing down, and that the only exception he might make on this pledge to increase tariffs would be if Canada and Mexico negotiate better terms for NAFTA. So
I think, Tom, thank you for mentioning this topic. This is a topic that is very, very critical from our perspective of our Catholic perspective on the world. And I don't have really the slightest idea what the right answer is, but I do know some of the principles that are involved. And one of the principles that is involved is that from a Catholic perspective, while we are very concerned about jobs in our own economy in the United States, we do need to be concerned about the world economy. And we do need to be concerned about how people are faring in other countries and how trade and how economic policies impact people throughout the world. It is no secret that the standard of living in the United States is higher than many, almost all other countries. And certainly if we look at developing countries, it is higher there. And so one of the things when we evaluate trade policy and tariffs and taxes, we always bring the perspective, which may not be always the most popular, that, well, how does this policy affect those who are the poorest and the most vulnerable? And here's where we get a little rub into some of the public policy debate in this country. We also have to ask the question, well, how does it affect the poorest and the most vulnerable in other nations? Because, quite frankly, we believe that a person, no matter what country they're from, is made in the image and likeness of God. And it doesn't matter whether you were born in Los Angeles. It doesn't matter whether you're born in Milwaukee. It doesn't matter whether you're born in Duluth or Cairo, or whether you're born in Manila or Rio de Janeiro, just to name some big places. We believe that everybody in every part of the world has the basic right to some human necessities of food, of shelter, of jobs. And so when we talk about these issues, we say, well, okay, let's look at how it affects the United States, but let's look at how it affects poor and vulnerable people everywhere. So, Tom, thanks for bringing that up. And that's probably not a perspective you're going to hear a lot in Congress. You're not going to hear that in a lot of the other debates. But that's something that we need to think about when we look at issues of tariffs and when we look about things of taxes. All right. So let's now go to our guest, Deanna James, the executive director of the St. Croix Foundation in the United States Virgin Islands. Deanna, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on Just Love today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be joining you today.
And just for the sake of our listeners, I had the pleasure of meeting Deanna just a few days ago when I was on a mission to the U.S. Virgin Islands and had the opportunity to speak with her for a while about some of the work that the foundation is doing there. So, Deanna, just give our listeners a little sense very briefly about how devastating the hurricanes of now 5 months ago or so were to the U.S. Virgin Islands. How bad was it?
It was pretty bad. So on September 8th, I think it was, or 9th, we had a Category 5 hurricane that wiped out two of the three islands of the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Thomas and St. John. St. Croix was basically spared. And then exactly 2 weeks later, Hurricane Maria wiped out St. Croix. And so we had three islands out of commission at the same time, which has never happened in modern history. So basically all government services, all government agencies were wiped out in the space of 2 weeks.
And did you, I assume, you also lost power?
We lost power. So we are, I think today, the last number I heard was 98% power restoration. But we were without power for, I think the vast majority of people were without power for at least three to four months.
Wow, that is...
Electricity, yeah. So it's been a long haul. It's been a long journey. We still have a long way to go. Some of the, you know, the aesthetic remnants of the hurricane have been cleared up a little, but there are systemic challenges that we're facing as our government agencies are struggling to get back up on their feet, and our nonprofit organizations are trying against incredible odds to fill those gaps. So, yeah, so there's a long road. We have, on St. Croix alone, 8 of 13 public schools were condemned.
Wow. And I guess
so basically every single child in public education here on the island of St. Croix is in a double session, which means 4 hours of instruction daily.
Wow. And that's what, down from like 6 or 7, that would be the kind of the norm?
Yeah, 6 or 7 hours. Exactly.
All right. So, Deanna, you have a really unique perspective as kind of the director of the St. Croix Foundation, because you don't look merely at food, you don't merely look at power, you don't merely look at education. You kind of have a sense of the overall issues that need to be addressed, even when there's no disaster, but particularly in terms of disasters. So give our listeners a sense from your perspective, what are, I'll pick a number, excuse me, what are the three things that you and your foundation are focusing on in order to help the recovery of St. Croix?
So for us, the number one thing would be equity. And just even in terms of, you know, media attention, you know, we lucked out in that we got squished. I say that we got squished in between two major natural disasters. The first one that hit a lot of islands in the Caribbean, including St. Thomas and St. John. And then the second one that hit Puerto Rico also is a Category 4. We took a Category 5 hit. And because of that, we got very little media attention. As a result of that, got less philanthropic attention. And so for us, our commitment, number one commitment through our work, even beyond the hurricane, has been around equity, ensuring that the most vulnerable populations are served first. And that has been our commitment from our inception 27 years ago on the heels of another hurricane, Hurricane Hugo. Till today is just making sure that there is real equity in terms of how we provide services and support for our residents here in this, you know, U.S. territory. The second piece would be on systems reform, and so we're less concerned with infrastructure issues. We know that'll be a major challenge for our government, for our public education system, but really in terms of how systems actually equitably and fairly provide the kinds of services that that populations here, particularly those that are underserved, need the most. And so we are doing a lot of work looking sort of beyond the facade of, you know, the impact of the hurricane and looking at how we can support our community in building healthier systems to for the long haul to support the needs of our community.
We're speaking
so those would be the two. First, equity. Second, on systems.
So, Dana, give me a second, Dan. We're speaking with Dana James, Executive Director of the St. Croix Foundation in the U.S. Virgin Islands, and we're speaking about the efforts going on there to come back after a devastating storm, primarily Maria, and how that's kind of flown a little bit under the radar screen because of some of the other stuff that was going on there. So, Dana, okay, is there another area that you're focusing on that you think is important for our listeners to be aware of?
Yeah, actually, so the last piece would be our nonprofit. So, you know, as a civic organization, I think sometimes the focus when we talk about economic development or community development is on the business sector or public sector. But our civic sector here on St. Croix is, I don't have the words to articulate how critically important they are and how valuable they are to the health of our overall health of our community. And so our number one priority in terms of even our grant making that we've been doing since the hurricane has been to stand up as strongly as we can our nonprofit organizations that are providing a bulk of the core services for the most vulnerable population. I'll give you one example. So we have a Boys and Girls Club that before the hurricane served 150 kids every day after school. They had two sites, two facilities. One was a really large main facility and a smaller annex site. The main facility lost its roof. They are now operating at, I think, close to 170-plus students every day, not only after school but now before school because there are double sessions. There are kids that are going to school in the morning and kids that are going to school in the afternoon. And so they are providing even more services than they did before with less resources and less infrastructure to support that. So how we can provide resources to support those organizations that are doing incredibly heavy lifting in the aftermath of the storm is where our core focus is right now.
Hey, Dana James, I want to say thank you in a little way for your coming on and educating me and our listeners, but a big, big thank you for the work that you're doing on St. Croix to kind of make sure that there's fairness, make sure that some of the systems are working better, and that the nonprofit organizations that really in many ways provide so many services and an underpinning of the lives of families that are there. So, Deanna James, thank you so much for being a guest on Just Love today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really, really appreciate it.
Great. So, you know, we spoke about three very important topics. And the other thing which I'll point out, because we are in the middle of I think this is the week in which we celebrate International Women's Day. And I do point out that the head of that foundation was a woman. The leaders in the school in Florida was a young woman who is head of the student council there. And I think from our perspective, from the Catholic Church, it's important for us to stand up and to support the advance of women. I don't mind saying it that sometimes the Catholic Church is perceived to be anti-woman because of we don't ordain women. The abortion issue is sometimes perceived by some as being an anti-women's issue when we stand up for human life. So because of those things, which I think are kind of unfair characteristics, but they're part of the conversation that we always have, that we need to be very, very clear from our Catholic values that we believe in the equality of men and women. We believe in equal pay for women. We believe that women should advance in their professions and be given equal opportunity. So I think we raise up International Women's Day on March 8th, and we need to be a firm proponent of making sure that there are good opportunities for women to display and to use their talents and their gifts. So you know, today we spoke about what's going on in the middle of Lent in terms of the suffering of Jesus, those young adults, the people who were killed in Parkland. They certainly are united with the cross of Jesus Christ. We also spoke a little bit about the Bible and how we can maybe make it a little bit more accessible, and I encourage our listeners to tune in to Living Biblically to learn a little bit more in maybe a fun way about the Bible and how we try to deal with this. And I encourage us not to forget the U.S. Virgin Islands, who are still recovering from this. So thank you for joining us on Just Love this week. Just do it. Love God, love your neighbor, yourself, and our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. Join us again next week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Listening to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.